This past week in the church, we celebrated the feast day of these two pillars of the Christian faith. Saints Peter and Paul are the chief apostles. They have a prominent place in our church. See, St. Paul is pictured over here, the first on the 12 on that side, and St. Peter over here, the first of the 12 that are depicted along this side. And if you look behind the altar in the apse area, Paul's over here and Peter's here, the first ones to receive Holy Communion from Christ, the high priest. So the two greatest saints as far as apostles go. They're also the patron saints of the Patriarchate of Antioch, our patriarchate. So a very special place for Peter and Paul. One thing that we don't talk about all the time, or maybe it's not in the front of our minds with these two saints, is the fact that they didn't always agree. The fact that they had a conflict. And we know about this because of Paul writing in Galatians. And the conflict was basically this question of, what about the Gentile Christians? You know, that was a big question in the early church. Most of the early Christians were Jews, and they had been schooled on the law. They had already been in an old covenant with God, and now they were accepted into this new covenant. But they had the law, the Psalms, and the prophets as their teachers. So they knew God. They had a relationship with God, these Jews who became Christians. What about the ones who were pagans, who weren't schooled in the law? What about them? Were they equally valid as Christians? That was a big question. And the question was resolved. You know, St. Paul was a relative latecomer on the scene. Peter, one of the 12, and certainly the chief of those 12, the spokesperson. He had interactions with the Lord. Paul comes a little bit later, but Paul affirms that the other apostles gave him the right hand of fellowship. They gave him all the power of the apostles, and he was designated to be the apostle to the Gentiles, St. Paul specifically. So the understanding was, there's one Lord, Jesus Christ. Those who belong to him through that new covenant, who accept his death, and, you know, mystically and sacramentally are seated at his table. So one head of the household, one head of the table, and all his faithful gathered around him at the table, there's no separation. There can't be second-class Christians. So bottom line, Gentiles are as much Christians as Jews. That was the understanding. That's affirmed throughout all the Gospels and the Scriptures. They understood that. But the conflict came when Peter sort of backslided on that understanding, you know. And St. Paul describes it as they were coming together, and he talks just about that table fellowship. They were sitting down with non-Jews, with unclean Gentiles. And Peter withdrew, and he wouldn't sit and share a table with them. So St. Paul says, I had to confront him on it. I had to call him a hypocrite to his face. Read that. It's in the Epistle to the Gentiles. There was a conflict. It was resolved. Thank God it was resolved. So today we picture the two of them in a loving embrace and greeting each other with the kiss of peace, coming to a common understanding of the gospel. That's so critical, beloved in Christ, that it's hashed out in the epistles and the gospels. You know, are there two gospels? Emphatically, no. There is only one gospel. There is one Lord, there is one covenant, there is one God, and people belong to that God through his Son, Jesus Christ, no matter where they came from. See, Jews were inclined at the time to think that because they were Jews, because of their birth, because of their bloodline, their ethnicity, their heritage, they were sons. And these other people who weren't Jews could never be sons of God. But the gospel affirms radically otherwise. It's not your bloodline. It's not your birth. It's not your ancestors. It's not your heritage. It's faith in Jesus Christ. That's why circumcision no longer matters. There's neither Jew nor Greek and all the other juxtapositions that Paul talks about. It's only faith in Christ. That's why in the gospel today we hear Jesus tell that centurion. You know, the centurion comes to him and he says, "Lord, I have a servant who's paralyzed at home." But unlike someone else in the gospel, there's a story of a Jewish leader who has somebody at home and he asks the Lord to come and heal him. But this centurion says something a little different. He says, "I'm not worthy to have you enter my home." And Jesus remarks at the faith. Never in Israel have I seen such faith. You know, this man wouldn't even have the Lord come into his home because he felt unworthy. But he had such strong faith that Jesus could simply say the word and his servant would be healed. So Jesus remarks about that faith and he holds it up as an example, you know. And then he says, people will come from east and west and all over to sit at the table in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's a reference to the Jews. While the sons of the kingdom, also a reference to the Jews, will be thrown into the outer darkness. See? He's saying it's not just because you're Jewish. It doesn't automatically get you in. You have to be a son of God through faith in Christ. And your background really doesn't matter. It matters where your heart is. And if you accept the Lord Jesus as your master. That's what the Christian faith is. So thank God that got resolved in the time. And thank God we can depict Peter and Paul together in a loving embrace. There's another icon we have of them. I don't have it here to show you, but you may have seen it where they're holding up the church. You know, the two of them, they're together and they're holding up a model of the church. It's showing us that, you know, the church is founded on this unity, on this brotherhood, on this oneness of the gospel. And even if we have conflicts within the church, if we have people who might disagree, if we have erratic behavior, if we have things that go off course, there's a way to resolve them peacefully, lovingly, and even correct them, which is what happened with St. Peter and St. Paul. So St. Peter's kind of wandering astray is depicted in the gospel narratives too, his denial of Christ, right? See, the epistles are written first and the gospel narratives later. So I think that's showing us that Peter really did deny the true gospel. He's the one that said, "Lord, if they all fall away, I will never deny you." And then we hear about it three times in succession. He says, "I don't know the man." He panicked, he got scared, and he denied the Lord. So then Peter was radically off course, but it's so nice at the end of the Gospels, John has this specifically, the risen Lord appears to Peter, and he says to him, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he asks him three times, "Do you love me?" And Jesus responds when Peter says he does love him, "Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." Christ is restoring Peter three times after Peter denied Christ three times. So there's that beautiful narrative about the restoration of Peter. And then when the angels appear to the women in the tomb, they say, "Go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee." So we know Peter is, again, a disciple, and he's an apostle, and he's given everything that he had. God has forgiven him, and he's been received in mercy. So that's a wonderful depiction in the Gospels. Let's look at that icon and remember that in our own life in the church. You know, we're no better than anybody else, no matter where we come from. We don't have kind of maybe that mentality of the Jews where it's circumcision, and it's our parentage and our bloodline. I hope we don't have that. I hope we understand that the gospel is universal and it's preached everywhere. And it doesn't matter how you're born, it's how you are, like how you're born on earth, it matters how you're born from above, right? How you're born of God. Because it says in the prologue of John's gospel, that beautiful passage, he came to his own, Jesus, the Jews, his own. He came to his own, and his own knew him not. Some of them knew him, some of them accepted him. But as a blanket statement, they rejected him. But to those who have received him, who did not reject him, he has given the power to be called children of God. And how are we called children of God? Not through the will of man, not through the flesh. That's not how we're born, but we're born of God. So born of God, faith in Jesus Christ, baptized into that faith, you are a son of God. So one Lord, one kingdom, one table, and one body of believers. We have to affirm that, beloved in Christ, even today in our age. There's no separation of backgrounds or ethnic or convert or cradle. It's all one church in the Lord Jesus. So let's look at Saints Peter and Paul and ask for their prayers. You know, they overcame those controversies, that conflict. They reached a resolution. They can lovingly embrace one another in a holy kiss. Ask for their prayers for our salvation and for our continued prosperity of our church in the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.